Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from this day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Verses 1 through 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season, and thank you for the opportunity for us to be bright, shining witnesses for you during the Christmas season and beyond. Father, set us on fire with a new passion to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, not just during Advent, during the Christmas season, but all year long, and help us to grow in our passion and our desire to do our part to help take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of being a part of this great kingdom work of making disciples. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for looking at our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful story of David and how he turned into a king. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how he looked forward to Jesus, the coming Savior. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this broadcast and for our listeners. And I just pray that you'd open our ears, that we'd be present and personally invested in this time with you. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Brian Stivale. He's a servant of the Lord. He's an actor in the movie that's about to debut called David, a voice actor. And he's a former resident of Israel and wears many other hats as well. Brother Brian, how are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me on your program, Pastor Joseph. I'm honored.
Oh, we're honored to have you come on. And of course, we're excited about the movie David that's about to debut in theaters across our nation. And so grateful to have you. I want to ask if you'll take some time to further introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll better know a little bit more about who Brian Stivale is. And then we want to talk about the movie David.
Certainly. It's my pleasure. Well, hello, everyone. Shalom, shalom. I wish perfect peace upon everybody. And as the Lord said, we should all be professing before he returns, Baruch HaBashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I do just that. I am an ordained pastor of 20-plus years. My wife and I have been in ministry together since we met during the Broadway tour of a musical called Zorba many, many moons ago, and have continued to do our work for the Lord ever since. And I've been blessed and privileged to travel the world with some of God's greatest generals and be mentored by some of the most wonderful in the kingdom. I had a great mentor in my papa, Dr. Miles Monroe from the Bahamas, and so many other greats that are just wonderful kingdom influencers, mentors of achievers and believers who are disciples, and I'm so thankful to be a part of that. My wife and I pastor the first United States plant of King of Kings Community Jerusalem and King of Kings Ministries, established over 45 years ago in the Holy Land itself in Jerusalem, and we have over 18 congregations in the land of all different varieties, from Hebrew-speaking congregations, our English-speaking congregations in Jerusalem and Herzliya and Tel Aviv, and we also have Ethiopian congregations, Eritrean congregations, Arab congregations, Brazilian congregations, Ukrainian and Russian congregations. So we have a very wide variety, a big melting pot in the Holy Land, and then all the way spanning across the globe, the network of King of Kings Ministries is wide, and we're blessed and privileged to be a part of that by helming the Los Angeles, first plant in the United States of King of Kings. And so we teach Hebrew roots, biblical archaeology. We teach the Torah, the Old Testament. We teach the New Testament. We teach the Word of God, and we preach the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful to be a part of that and have that be central in our work. I get to work full-time in Hollywood as a professional voice actor, spanning literally thousands of credits at this point in my career, and I can personally tell you that no project I have ever worked on before this, even kingdom projects that I've been a part of, has ever mattered as much as this, has ever been of this level of excellence, has ever been of this type of piece of art for the dedication of the glory of God. And so I'm just honored to be on your show today. I voice the prophet Samuel, as you just read that beautiful scripture that surrounds the predominance of my best scenes in the movie, and the anointing of David, who would become the very throne that Jesus, Yeshua, sits upon. He sits upon the throne of David. So, yes, I get to be a part of Angel Studios and Sunrise Animation's incredible effort, David, in theaters only December 19th.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, really grateful for the privilege of having you to come on to share. And I want to ask if you'll just tell our listeners now, many of our listeners probably have heard about this upcoming movie, David, but then there's some who may have never heard about the movie that's coming up. And, you know, I think of this, if you'll take time to kind of share with our listeners a little bit more about the movie and just some background information. But one thing I would say, too, is that one powerful truth for us as believers to be mindful of is that in the Word of God, once David is introduced, by the grace of God, he's a towering figure throughout all of Scripture. And it's powerful to understand, too, that like, now, of course, Israel's greatest king always has been, always will be Jesus. But next, Jesus, David will be considered the greatest king Israel had under Jesus himself. And man after God's own heart, not perfect, but a great servant of God and a great king. So tell our listeners about the movie David.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure. Well, first of all, there have been many adaptations, many incarnations, if you will, of the story of HaMelech David, King David, as you said, the greatest king in the history of the human lineage of kings in Israel, so great that he was necessary in the lineage of Jesus himself. And as I stated earlier, Jesus sits upon David's throne, which was established in this kingdom. And from 1 and 2 Samuel, we really cover a good deal of David's life and his, as you said, he's very human. He has shortcomings. But the beautiful thematic understanding of his character and nature as a human being is he still has a heart after God. And that's set forth from the very moment of the anointing. And I think that's so beautiful. that every story hopefully can portray that, because it shows you do not have to be perfect to serve God. I think a lot of people come to church, come to the kingdom of God, and say, you know, I'll get saved, or I'll come to Jesus, or I'll come to God when I'm cleaned up, when I fix this or that. And you're never going to be ready. It's like having kids. I remember hearing somebody say, you know, don't try to save money to have kids. You're never going to actually be ready. Just, you know, when the Lord allows it to be so, receive the blessing. So there's something about David becoming that figure for us and reflecting the human aspect of what it means to have a heart after God. It means that you can still fail as a human and pick yourself back up and get recentered, as long as your heart is one of repentance and seeking after the face and the hand of the Lord to move in your life. The movie David is a beautiful piece of art, and I call it that because it's not a movie, it's a film, I have to correct myself, that was conceived over 30 years ago by one of our producer-directors, Phil Cunningham, in South Africa as a young man. He was canoeing along the Zambezi River, along the banks where there were lions and all sorts of wonderful and dangerous wildlife. And as a child, he was very reclusive, and his mother was a real mentor figure for him, amongst being his mom and other things, and encouraged him every day to be like David. You know, at your age, David was slaying lions and bears and having adventures. He slew Goliath by the time he was your age. Mm-hmm. And he was so encouraged by that, being the model to attain after. Obviously, we seek after being like unto Christ in everything we do if we're believers, but David's a human figure we can truly attain to be like, and having a heart after God is the key. So Phil had that heart after God, one of bravery and adventure, and continued this dream for over the course of 30 years, having moments where he realized it was meant to be an animation, had no idea what to do in that industry, and then got the right people. That's the other thing about the kingdom of God is, do not be afraid of this city. The Apostle Paul hears before going into Corinth, before I have many people in this city. There are a lot of people in the industry that want to see the kingdom of God furthered. So Sunrise Animation, cold, and recruited from Disney, Pixar, Illumination, DreamWorks, and all of the major hitter studios, believers who had tired of an ungodly agenda being promoted and broadcast across both the airwaves and on the big screen. They were tired of ungodly premises being whitewashed as good and evil being made to be pure when it was in fact a perversion of the truth. The enemy counterfeits everything, so this was an effort to counter that. Mm-hmm. And it recruited so many saints that had that same understanding. And so it's baptized in the hand of God. I believe the hand of God is on this musical animated epic. It tells the story of David from him starting in the fields that very day that Samuel goes to Jesse's house and follows the instruction of the Lord to find God's anointed after Saul has the kingdom torn from him due to a lack of severe obedience, as we know. To obey is better than sacrifices is the lesson in Saul's story through this. And his disobedience had the kingdom torn from him, and David was next to be in line. So it starts there. It goes to the anointing and David figuring out who he is in the midst. You know, the Bible covers a lot of territory, and there's years between his anointing mm-hmm. and being made king, when an entire an adventure of stories unfold in David's life that really sculpt who he will become as king. And part of that is playing and leading worship and calming Saul in his courts as he's demonized and plagued by this kingdom being torn from him and a lack of God in his life. The anointing lifting and being upon David, the actual anointing itself.
Brian, I'm going to jump in right here. We'll pick up right there on the other side of the break then. So you're fine. Our phone guest is Brian Stavala. He's a servant of the Lord and an actor, a voice actor in the movie David. We'll be right back.
A little baby born in a stable late one night,
underneath the sky so starry high. The star made a night to shine like the day, and the shepherds came to bring him praise. Wise men brought him beautiful gifts. They brought gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Did they call that little bitty baby?
King Jesus is his name.
Well, what did the heavenly host proclaim?
King Jesus is his name.
Well, tell me, who would have thought this tiny lad would hold all power in his hand? Tell me, what did they call him?
King Jesus is his name.
The music of Larnell Harris with King Jesus is his name. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Brian Stivale. He's one of the voice actors in the movie David. And Brian, as we begin this segment, would you take time to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say and encourage them about through this broadcast?
Absolutely. Father God, we come to you in the precious, matchless name of our Savior Jesus. And we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your fresh word, your manna, Lord. Every day that you pour out upon us when we're willing, when we seek your face diligently, you reward us with your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't just seek your hands, Lord. We seek your face.
Yes.
Even as you hide us in the cleft of the rock, we ask you to reveal all things to us, especially in this day and age that you've chosen us to live in, Lord. You haven't brought us here by accident. Your word does not have room for accidents. It is by divine providence that we're alive right now for such a time as this. Encourage every listener, everyone within the sound of my voice, to delve deeper into your word, Lord. You are the living word. You are the Torah. You are the New Testament. We ask you to teach us through these not just stories, but histories that are part of our story and the fabric of our very existence. Through being adopted in to this word, Lord, we thank you that there's richness in there. There's richness in the Old Testament to unlock the treasures of the New, and the treasures of the New to unlock the kingdom of God to so many others. We know that you are equipping us to see the salvation of the saints and to see them enter into your kingdom here on this earth in the land of the living. We ask you to prosper this ministry and all of the ministries associated with it. Prosper them. Give them abundance, increase, and blessing. And everyone listening, that they'd have blessing poured out upon them this Christmas season. Above all else, that your presence would be the main present that they receive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody who agreed said amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
amen.
Brian. So, Brian,
oh, my pleasure.
Dive right back in and tell our listeners more about the movie itself. Again, our hope is certainly that every single listener will go see the movie. But again, there's so
Absolutely.
Much significance around the character. Just pick up where you left off, if you would, please.
Sure. Well, it starts with the anointing of David, and it leads on through him being a worship leader in the courts of Saul. And then it takes it through to when David is literally, it goes beyond the story of David and Goliath, where typically the story of David and the retelling of David ends with the big metaphor, it ends with the giant story. And of course, it's a very big part of David's history. It's his defining moment. So much so that he brings it with him through the rest of his life. But there is something about not telling the rest of the story that it keeps our listeners, it keeps our viewers from learning more about who David really was as a man. So you learn about David the boy, the shepherd boy, but you very rarely learn about the David that's depicted in Michelangelo's statue, the man. And that's where we keep going. And we go all the way to the scripture that covers Ziklag, covering the Philistines, Saul's hunting of David, En-Gedi, and David being in the midst of where he wrote over half of the Psalms. And then we take it to Ziklag, where the Amalekites and the Philistines are involved, and the Israelite camp has been kidnapped. And that's very reflective of current events since October 7th in Israel. I should say that my wife and I are both Goodwill ambassadors officially to the state of Israel. And the reason for that is covenantal, not political. Mm-hmm. We believe that Jesus is definitively through the word promised to return to the new Jerusalem and to return to Jerusalem itself. And we believe that. And so we believe this is prophetically timed as a film as well to teach people about the word of God and understand the significance of David and his placement in our history as believers. Because we, as I said in that prayer, we're grafted in. It's not the other way around. There's something to that. We're one new creation together, but we're the ones grafted into the root.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's so many things.
I really want people to see this for that reason, yes.
Right, right. Yes, sir. Well, there's so many reasons why David's life is significant and is one to be studied. Again, obviously not perfect, but yet a great role model. He's in Scripture referred to as a man after God's own heart. And I think of this,
Amen.
Too. To your point, to this day, David's significance, even in history, is great to the point where the nation of Israel has on its flag the Star of David.
That's right.
His life
That's
is
right.
symbolic in so many ways.
Kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And archaeologically, there are new finds in Jerusalem itself, in Jerusalem, just beneath the Temple Mount. I'm not sure if you're aware. The city of David has been an excavation project for about 15 years now. They've discovered the Pool of Siloam, the Pilgrim's Passage up to the Temple Mount. So many different elemental aspects of what's scripturally evident in both the Old and New Testaments, and they validated the kingdom of David there in Jerusalem, which establishes the history more and more. And you actually see bits of that in the film. Their authenticity is excellent. The details, the attention to Israel as an actual living character rather than a background in this film. That's another reason I want people to see it. The animation is absolutely stunning. It's above kingdom quality. And for that reason, I think that the industry will take notice. In the box office, we're tracking to beat Avatar and other things in markets that were untouchable. Mm-hmm. So this really is a David versus Goliath scenario, and I want this to be successful. I know everyone attached to it, and I know the Lord wants it to be successful because family-friendly content needs to be more accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to go to the movies and know you're going to see something that's at least morally sound, if not godly. And I think this is soul food that people have been lacking since the Prince of Egypt. That was a tithe to God by DreamWorks when they started their company. So this is that from Sunrise Animation, and I believe Angel is going to see their greatest returns on this. The largest crowdfunded independent movie of all time.
Mm. Well, you know, also too, the fact is, it's a powerful story, and as you alluded to as well, many times for many people they remember, well, David killed Goliath, and he did. But there's Scripture spends a lot of time telling us much more about the life of David.
So much more,
and it's good for us.
And his deal for God, yes,
exactly,
absolutely.
And understanding, it's good for us to pursue understanding. What does it mean that he was a man after God's own heart? And certainly that should be a goal for every believer to do the same in their lives as well. But your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, and if you're a mentor of disciples, if you're somebody who's out there teaching, this has got to be core to your affirmation, is reconciling with the idea that none of us humans are perfect. Paul actually says that my righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. And so anything that we do in our human spacesuits will never attain to where Jesus was in his perfection. But David's a great model to show that if your heart is for God, to constantly seek after his plan, his way, not your own plans, but God's plans for your life, and really walk in his will, that the power of God, it works on your behalf. I know so many wonderful believers that live this David kind of life, that favor just makes room for them. Their gift is their faith, and that makes room for them wherever they go. So we should seek, as believers, to be like David and have a heart after God in every day of our lives.
Mm. You know, we want to encourage every single listener to prayerfully make it your goal to both go see the movie, but also encourage others, but also to pray. Brian, how would you encourage believers to pray for the movie and the mission behind the movie as well?
Well, one of our biggest missions is to see at least 1 million kids who can't afford to go to the theater for free. We've already achieved that. I think we're heading toward the 2 million mark. I don't want to speak beyond numbers, but they can prayerfully consider going to the Angel site, paying it forward, or also actually going there to say, hey, we know of a family and they need tickets, and they'll take care of you. They're really accessible for that. That's one of our main goals. But also to pray for the success of the film, not for the dollar value, not for the return of investment. You know, the return of investment on this is the souls that will be saved, the people that will be reached, the lives that will be turned from, negative to light and from hopelessness to hope. So prayerfully consider that this movie is a success, so it speaks volumes to that Goliath in Hollywood to let them know that our God is the God of all creation, not just some of creation. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, but he owns those hills too.
That's right. That is so true. And I think of this too, that David, well, of course, he was many things, but amongst other things, he wrote about half of all the Psalms. And Psalms, all over the world, is one of, if not the most favorite book in the whole Bible, too. And so the fact that David had wrote so many of them is very significant as well.
And if you read the Psalms, they speak to who we are as human beings in our journey with God. Sometimes it's not pretty, but as long as we seek after the Lord, our lives will be straightened out.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And, you know, I think of this, too, that, like, when we look at presently, as we're in the Christmas season during this time of Advent, the story of the wise men, they're looking for Bethlehem. They're coming to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, of course, means house of bread. And God provides the Savior of the world in the house of bread. And Judah, Bethlehem, Judah, is the land of praise. And so, going back to worship, worship has always been a very important part of the life of any and all of the followers of the Lord. And so King David stands as a great role model of a person who made worship a high priority. Any thoughts you want to share about that?
Certainly. Well, first of all, Beit Lechem, you're right, is the house of bread. It's where all of the holy bread for the temple was made. The showbread was made there. Just across from the shepherd's field where the lambs for sacrifice were bred and raised and shepherded, and where Yeshua, where Jesus was born under a sukkah, under an outdoor arbor or what have you, whatever you want to apologetically call it. That's all right there. But even more so, how wonderful is God? Jesus declares himself as Lechem Lechai, the bread of life. So the bread of life, born in the house of bread, you know, everything played together beautifully. But David himself, as a worshiper, how could you not worship that, was born in that city. It was the city of David that Jesus was born in. So it is a city of worship. Jerusalem is a city of worship ever still. But our two Davids, we have two. We have a young David for the period of his youth, and then it switches to adult David for his adulthood, obviously. And they're played respectively by Brandon Ingman and the incredible Christian artist Phil Wickham, who is truly a modern day David. And I think that aspect of this film plays into the understanding of our need for worship. None of the songs are contrived. They don't come out of nowhere like a musical, like, oh, now they're singing. Everything is worshipful. It's either a prayerful song. For instance, My Anointing of David, it counts as a song, but it is because all Hebraic prayer is sung. But all the rest of the music is worship. And it is an element of David's heart that worship was part of who he was. Because when we worship the Lord, we leave the earth and we enter into the heavenlies and we can truly show God his worship. And that's the beauty of being a worshiper, is it's the only offering we can give to God that he has put in us that we can give back freely. And it releases so much within us, but it also blesses the Lord. Somebody once said, well, how do you bless God? I see, by worshiping him, by showing him your love. Mm-hmm. We have a Father in heaven who loves us and wants to see us show him his worth, and that's what worship is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, our time is almost gone. Can you share with our listeners what was the most exciting or fun part of being Samuel, would you say, in the movie?
Well, being my favorite prophet, if you can actually have a favorite prophet, I'm sorry, but the stories of Samuel are most amazing to me. He's visceral, he's real, he's a warrior, if you want to put it that way. By the way, the warrior aspect of Samuel is kind of left out of this movie, although he is very strong in a scene with Saul in a flashback of taking the kingdom from him. Right. But there is the element of the Amalekite king that's left out. He's not quartered in this by Samuel in Saul's courts. But I love playing that part because of who he is and what that means. He's a key character because, and I say key like an actual key that unlocks doors, because without the anointing, David cannot become king. It says, as you read in that beautiful scripture from 1 Samuel, and he anointed him with the horn of oil, and from that day forward, David was filled with the Spirit. And that moment couldn't have happened. And think about the rest of David's life and our lives. When we're filled with the Spirit, we're equipped with God's grace and his empowerment to do more than just survive. We thrive.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, would you take time in these last few moments, pray for the church to really rise and be so much more supportive and coming alongside in prayer and support of the nation of Israel?
Oh, yes, I would love to do that. I Father God, I thank you for ears that would hear right now to recognize that Jesus was not a Christian. John was not a Baptist and Mary was not Catholic. They were all your Jewish children, and that your prophecies, your word is one of Judaism. We thank you that Jesus, the Jewish Jesus, is the one that we worship. And to be someone who is not in covenant with your covenant with Israel means we're not adoptive in nature. And I thank you that this is our story, but we've been able to partake of that as Gentile believers or as Jewish believers in your story through adoption. Thank you that it's continually written, that we have the book of Acts open. I thank you, Lord, that you are providing a way for people to hear now that the spirit of anti-Semitism is rising up like the spirit of Antichrist. They are one and the same. To be anti-Semitic is to be anti-Christian. I thank you for speaking to their hearts now, that they wouldn't see with political eyes, but covenantal eyes, to understand that Israel is the apple of God's eye in spite of any humanity or error that they may make politically. As they're run by non-believers, Lord, we thank you that there will be a time when all Israel will be saved. Kol Yisraeli Vashav is what your word says. And so we agree with that now. We speak to the salvation of Israel through your word and through the presence of Jesus, our Messiah. And we thank you for every believer in the kingdom of God coming together and strengthening and becoming that one true new creation in you.
In Jesus' name, amen. Again, our phone guest has been Brian Stivale. We'll be right back.
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. An angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled minds. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swaddling bands and in a manger laid.
Music of Andrew Peterson with While Shepherds Watched. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We did have in the first two segments as our phone guest, Brian Stivale. He's one of the voice actors for the movie David. And we're encouraging every single listener to prayerfully consider going and seeing the movie and inviting and encouraging lots of other folks to go out and see it as well. And please take time to go and read about the life of the great servant of God we know of as King David in the Word of God. From 1 Samuel on, he's a towering figure in all of the Word of God. I want to read now from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. It speaks significantly of the city of David, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 2. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we often do, I want to take time now to share a resource article that we're hoping you'll email us to get a copy of, a discipleship article to encourage you in your walk, and also one to use in discipling your family as well. The title, and of course, we normally do also, we're encouraging you to forward it and share it with coworkers on your job, fellow church members, saved or unsaved individuals as well. And remember, it's easy to send discipleship material by way of email, easy as pushing the button. So hope that you will take time to do that as well. The title of this particular blog, this article, is A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas. Again, a discipleship message to parents for Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Again, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Again, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, reading that verse again. "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." During the Christmas season or Advent, there are certain discipleship activities that families are very wise to carry out. These activities can help us as families grow in our understanding of the blessed messages of the Christmas narratives. Families should make it a high priority to read through all the nativity stories a number of times during the Christmas season. Those narratives are found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Why is this so important to do? In order for anyone to really understand the message and the meaning of Christmas, Christ needs to be at the center of our understanding. The word Christmas means Christian Mass or Christ's Mass. The term Christmas derives from the Roman Catholic Church's term for the Mass of Christ. Christmas is the celebration of God's greatest gift, Christ the Lord, as he came into the world as a baby long ago. Matthew and Luke tell us of the many glorious events that happened when Christ came into the world as a little baby. We live in a world where people get excited and passionate about many things. People get very excited about entertainment, sports, etc. And sometimes so many of the things people get so passionate about, to be quite honest, really aren't that important. The Word of God helps us to see things in life that are genuinely worth getting excited about. The wise men in Matthew chapter 2 were full of joy and excitement over having the opportunity to come and find Christ and worship him. And they were excited about giving the prophetic gifts that they gave to him as well. Gabriel was excited to bring the good news that he brought to Zechariah and to Mary. He appeared to be very excited to let Zechariah know that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a baby who would be the forerunner for the Messiah. He also seemed to be excited to bring the news to Mary that she would be the mother of the Messiah. The messenger angels of Luke chapter 2, who let shepherds know that Christ had been born, were very excited about the coming of Christ into the world. They worshiped and praised God over the news. Simeon and Anna, also in Luke chapter 2, were excited, joyful, and worshipful over seeing and learning of the Messiah's coming into the world. Parents, having your children read about the people, places, and events of Christmas, as well as the excitement and passion that they reveal, is edifying and fruitful. Reading the Christmas narratives is much more fruitful and impacting and encouraging than probably any of us really realize. May all followers of Christ become more and more passionate about Christ and his kingdom and the things of God. May we strive daily to become much more committed to his will and his priorities in all of our lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. Remember, Christmas is not about shopping, getting and giving presents, going to parties, Santa Claus, and reindeer. For every family, for every person, for all people, this is true. Christmas is Jesus. Again, the title of that article, A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Well, in many ways, as we think of the beautiful and the powerful story, Christmas story found in, again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2, Luke chapters 1 and 2, again, it's a beautiful story, a joy-filled story, a grace-filled story in so, so many ways. Yet, we see it was a world and a time that was a dangerous time to be alive in. We see the tragic story of the slaughter of innocent babies in Matthew chapter 2 by a wicked and a ruthless king. And we see a Roman-occupied nation, Israel, dealing with that under the rule of Rome. And so many things were tough in that day and time when Jesus was born. And we live in a tough world today as well. And so an ongoing reminder is that we're to always look to the Word of God for guidance and for direction and the setting of our priorities, because our goal should be to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things would be added to us as well. Let's take time now to pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for all the believers that are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for all of us that make up this nation, the United States of America. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you for us as your church, Lord. Father, set the church on fire afresh with the Spirit and the the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Help us to burn brightly with the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit upon us, to be about the work of sharing the gospel and making disciples as a lifestyle, individually and collectively, each and every day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never made the step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today, during this Christmas season, today is a great day to be saved, a great day to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and receive eternal life. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. I'm sorry for all the wrongs I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey and follow you every day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. Please email us so we can get this to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to get that to you. If you'd like to get a copy, again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you're wanting a copy of the article that we shared, again, the title, A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.